Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
What the f***? I'm not even supposed to be here.
Dale Arnold.
Never get over this. Over 13, man. It's more than that.
Rich Key.
The series is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
You're going to find me dead.
Regardless of what happens tonight after the game, they're certainly champions in our eyes.
I'm going to be hanging from the back.
Dale and Key.
Dunsky.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. You all know what happened last night. I don't know if you heard this. It's on the front page of both your papers today.
What happened?
It's a certain game. I will say this.
Awful.
It was really quiet outside the garden last night.
Yeah, there was nothing. I thought it was going to be like, oh, it could get ugly here after a loss.
People
were kind of shocked. They were very disappointed, obviously, but it was just, I don't know if they were just so anticipating the win or what it was. And then it didn't happen. And you're like kind of in a state of shock. And you're like, all right, well, I guess I just got to get home. I'm not going to rip out any street signs.
It was one
signs.
Of my easiest trips out of the garden in recent memory. I mean, it was like there was nobody on the streets outside the building. And the only people I saw were wearing St. Louis Blues sweaters.
Yeah, there was
good for them.
Because before the game, it was a pretty cool atmosphere.
Like,
the streets were full.
Nuts on Canal Street.
And so you're like, all right, if you take that energy, then you take the game, win or lose, it was going to be crazy afterwards. But it wasn't crazy. It was just sort of, can't believe this happened.
They didn't have, you know, giant screens outside the garden, so there was no reason for fans to congregate, which was probably smart the way it ended up. So it's not like they were all hanging around Canal Street to watch it on giant screens. Once the game started, they all said, well, let's go home and watch it on TV.
And then that was it. And then just be very disappointed.
So we were talking about how disappointing it was. I mean, the Bruins were favored. They had a golden opportunity to win their seventh Stanley Cup championship. They were on home ice, all of that stuff.
Yes.
And they kicked it away.
Yes.
And it got us thinking about painful losses in Boston sports history. From now on, forevermore, nothing will ever top 18-1.
Can't do it. That's, oh my God.
That's still the worst ever.
And it's the season, it's also the game, it's the opponent, and I know they ended up playing really well. They played a perfect game, but that was certainly not a team that you thought was going to be able to win it. They had the right formula, but then some of the crazy plays that happened in the game, but just what was at stake? I mean, the perfect season, what was at stake there was they were the greatest football team of all time. If they win that game, they are the greatest team
of all time. We don't have to listen to Don Shula anymore.
Yeah, get out of here with those guys.
Any of those
Mercury
people.
Mercury Morris, take a hike. All those guys. That was the best team ever. Would have capped off literally the perfect season, and they lost. So I don't think anything else is even close to that one.
No, that's number one with a bullet.
Yes.
Number two all time for me, Red Sox-Mets 1986.
Ooh, okay.
The ball through Buckner's legs. That's number two.
Yes. But as I said, not all Buckner's fault.
I didn't say it was his fault.
I'm going to pass ball.
I'm just talking about that game.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
and that just devastated fans, and that was
number
brutal.
Two for me. That was,
that's fine.
Ugh.
Yeah. I think I put all the Patriots' recent losses, and I know they've won six, but the things that happened in each one of them. So you take the perfect season, you put that to the side. The fact that a few years later you got to play that same team, a lot of the same faces, the same coach.
Right.
And I know the Patriots weren't undefeated, and I know the Giants, you know, you certainly took them a little bit more serious because they'd already beaten you 4 years earlier, but that loss, having a chance to beat Eli freaking Manning in the Super Bowl, and so for him to beat him again, I thought that was bad. I also think the Eagles loss is worse than the Bruins and Blues, and it's because this is, you know, Tom Brady coming back off a suspension. Like, what a sweet way to sort of cap off the season. What a great way to go. And what happens? You're playing a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl. Like, it's still like we sort of look at the St. Louis Blues and we talk about them and you're saying, like, oh, that's really not like a great elite team. It's a backup quarterback. And you can't beat Nick Foles. And that, you know, the defense obviously let him down. And just, you know, I know they were able to bounce back and win it. And again, so if you look at the whole thing, as you know, they've won six. Like, it's insane how often they have won. But I just think that sort of the hopes that you've gotten up for those teams, the three Super Bowl, the three Patriot losses to me all hurt more than this last night.
18-1 is separate category.
I mean, different.
86 Red Sox Mets is still number two for me because it was in your hands. Sorry, Bill Buckner, not your hands, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was there for you. I mean, you know, the champagne was chilling in your clubhouse, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably put the second Giants Super Bowl loss third on my list.
Yeah.
I put this ahead of the Eagles.
You do? Oh, so I misspoke. So he was suspended against the Falcons, the start of the season against the Falcons, and they won it. But I was thinking of, okay, now you can go back-to-back, and it was there. But it had a similar feel. Like, are you really going to face Nick Foles in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And he was awesome. Like, he played out of his mind. But you're going to play Nick Foles? I do think that this one hurt a lot more than the 2010 Celtics loss. Now, that one was bad. But because
you had a bunch of guys hurt.
Well, Perkins got hurt early in game six.
Yep.
And they had a 3-2 series lead. So that one different in this sense because you lose game six, then you lose a game seven. But on the other side, it's Kobe Bryant, who's one of the great players of all time.
Sure.
You know, it's a team that was going to go on and win it. Like they were a really good team and had one of the all-time great players. Even Pau Gasol is like a really good player. And you also had injuries on your behalf. Whereas the Blues just, it was like a surprise team to get to the cup final. Like they should have had that. They should have had that one.
The only argument for the Celtics one being worse is that you were just about to potentially build the dynasty off of that. Like if you had won two in those 3 years.
Well, the Bruins same way. I mean, I know it was 8 years ago when they won, but they'd been to three cups in a decade and had they won two. It's such a difference to win two because now you're in the conversation with the Blackhawks, the Penguins, and the Kings. And now you're not. Like, it's nice that you've been to three, but you've only won one. So there was definitely a legacy thing at stake for both. But yeah, I mean, you look back on that Celtics run, you felt like they should have been able to squeeze a second title out of it. And that was it. That was the one. The year before, obviously, KG was hurt. But that year, you had a great opportunity. And it's funny, looking back at some of those games, like how different the NBA was. Game six, the final score of game six against the Lakers that they lost, 89-67.
Yeesh.
We actually watched that stuff. That is so bad. It's good to see the NBA is back. You know, they score points again. But they were defensive minded. But losing game six and game seven, that does make it different than this Bruins Blues thing. But Lakers, much better team than the St. Louis Blues are.
And maybe my bias is showing here because this one, for me, you know, as a hockey fan and a hockey guy, this is more painful for me than some other ones.
Well, this is worse than the Blackhawks. Based on the opponent.
Oh, God,
it's much worse than the Blackhawks.
Absolutely. The Blackhawks were, you thought they were a wagon.
That was a great,
you know, the
really
fact that you were hoping you'd get to a game seven. You didn't feel great about your chances of winning a game seven in Chicago, but
no. What
the hell? Who knows? Anything can happen.
And they already had won a title a couple of years prior to that. And then, you know, we can look back on it now. They went on to win a title 2 years again after that. So that was right in the middle of, you know, in the last 10 years, it's either them or the Penguins. I guess, you know, you got to go back to, what, 09. So, yeah, 10, 11 years, it's either the Penguins or the Blackhawks as the best hockey dynasty. So when you lose to them, it's a little bit more understandable than losing to the St. Louis Blues, who I would be shocked if they made it back to the cup final next year. The Blues.
I would agree.
Like, that would be crazy. I mean, this was sort of a perfect kind of storm for them.
They are the champions. They deserve it. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say.
Oh, they won.
They're not the best team in hockey.
That's not the beginning.
They're the champions of hockey.
Yeah, all right. It's not the beginning of this. Ooh, look at this team. Look at the young stars. Look at, you know, the elite players. They're gonna be back here. Nope. They've been hot for a few months now. So give them credit for that. But they are not the Chicago Blackhawks of a few years ago. That's for sure.
So this one ranks third on my list.
Yeah, understandable.
Everybody's got different lists. You know, you've got other series, other, you know, individual games that hurt most. We all agree what was number one, and that will never be topped.
You can't.
It can't be topped.
You can't do it. No. There's no chance. Because what would the circumstance have to be? Because even if the Patriots, hypothetically, went undefeated again and lost,
if Brady retires. Second time. If it's Brady saying this is my last game, it's a perfect season, he would go out.
Oh, if he announces, before the game?
Yeah, that was it. My very last game.
Which I don't think he would do.
So you're 18-0, you know it's his last game ever, and then you lose?
Or maybe you
You win, Rossi. Yeah. You found one that'll be worse.
It's not always positive.
And then you know what Rossi would do? He would go on Twitter
and say, good job, good effort.
Thank you, Patriots.
Because everybody in the world would be like, Tom Brady is the worst, and I'd say, thank you, Tom Brady, for the last 20 years. And I'd do a kiss emoji.
The Patriots do deserve more of a thank you than anybody else.
Eggplant
You could
emoji.
Actually give that. Come on. Don't be crass.
Let's give you Bruce Cassidy, and because we're getting a lot of this today, and you're hearing about, oh, see, told you, you'll never win anything with Rask. You had to wait 24 games before you got to say that.
And again, that's another big part of this loss, Dale, is that remain. Like the Tuukka Rask,
it's still alive for
it's
folks.
It's still there. They can keep it going. And because of last night's game, too, his overall numbers from 13 better than this year. Like they ended up being a little bit better.
Let's hear Bruce Cassidy talking about Tuukka Rask, not just last night, but in the playoffs.
He was, like I said, excellent. He was our best player. And I don't think anybody's leaving the building tonight, unfortunately, you know, in our locker room saying they put their best foot forward, unfortunately. And that's not, you know, that's the whole group. We didn't get it done. Every position, coaching staff, whatever you want to say, they ended up being better than us.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's one of the most forthright.
He's the best. I mean, he really is the best to listen to.
Doc Emrick told us that earlier in the playoffs when we talked to him. I said, you talk to every head coach. You know, how do you rank Cassidy in regard? He said he's number one.
Number one. Yeah, he's the best. He's very honest, but at the same time, you know, not going crazy. Not like giving you every bit of information in the world, but he is so honest. And even his assessments all year of Tuukka Rask weren't the blanket, oh, well, you know, there's nobody I'd rather have, or he's the best guy. No, like when he played poorly, he would say, I wish we had a stop on that one, or he would point that out, whereas other guys, I understand why they do it, but if you ask Brad Stevens or even Alex Cora about some of his players, more often than not, really going to defend him. And that's probably how you have to do it, but Cassidy has that honesty, and the players respect that clearly, because they play for him. And I know it didn't work out for him. His first trip, however many years ago, when he was the head coach, he's had to change because that didn't work, and now he's getting the results.
As Billy Jaffe said last night on the postgame show about Cassidy, nothing he says to the media is anything he hasn't already said to his own players in his own dressing room.
Yeah, they're not going to be surprised by
it. They're not going to go, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, you just said it. He's like, I'll tell it to your face as well.
And he does.
Yes.
And he tells it to their face, right. And then he comes out and shares with the media. He'll tell you, like yesterday, you know, Grizzlick's been cleared. Assuming he gets through the morning skate, he's going to go in. Connor Clifton's going to come out.
Yeah, and there you go.
And he tells you that.
Tells you exactly how it is.
Because he doesn't assume that, you know, Craig Berube's in the other dressing room going,
Oh, wait a minute.
We got to change the
game plan. No, nothing like that. No, it's refreshing to hear, especially because, you know, 20 years of Bill Belichick giving people absolutely nothing. It's amazing. Oh, wait a minute. You're allowed to be like this? You're allowed to tell us what's going on? Like, it's very refreshing. So I like listening to him.
All right, and switching gears here briefly because this has just come out in the last few minutes. Tiffany Ortiz has issued a new statement on the condition of David Ortiz. This is through the Red Sox. The Red Sox issue this on behalf of Tiffany. And I'll read this. It's two paragraphs long. Quote, I want to take this opportunity to offer our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to Eliezer Salvador, owner of Presidente Sports, for your quick thinking and swift action on Sunday night, interjection by me. This is the guy who threw David Ortiz into his car and did this mad dash to the hospital, you know, crashing into other cars and banging around, but making sure Ortiz got to the hospital as quickly as he could. Back to Tiffany's statement. Your heroism and selflessness were the first steps to ensuring David could get the urgent care he required. For that, we are eternally grateful. To the amazing surgeons, medical team, and staff at the Abel Gonzalez Clinic in the Dominican Republic, there are no words to express our gratitude for the amazing care you provided. Without you, our story could have had a tragic ending. Mm. You will forever be our guardian angels. David remains in guarded condition in the surgical intensive care unit following his second surgery. He continues to heal and make progress. David will continue to recover in the ICU, and future updates on his condition will be provided when necessary, unquote. So she continues to use the term guarded condition. We know he's in the intensive care unit. from what I've read from other doctors who are not treating Ortiz, I'll state that at the beginning.
Yeah.
But other doctors who are talking about this particular set of issues for Ortiz, their single biggest concern here is infection.
They've
had to remove part of his intestine. You know, his gallbladder is gone. Part of his liver is gone. Obviously, the internal injuries of the gunshot wound. Infection is their single greatest fear here. Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, after we got off the air, we found out the detail about how the hitman or hitmen were offered $7,800 for this.
And there are six people who have now been arrested.
Right.
They have the weapon. It was buried in somebody's front yard. The guy who pulled the trigger has reportedly already confessed to pulling the trigger. I mean, it's
an insane story.
Mind-boggling.
The whole thing is insane.
We'll try to get, you know, as the information becomes available, and the Red Sox just issued this statement on behalf of Tiffany Ortiz, we'll bring it to you. There's not a whole lot condition. Well, I don't think we're going to get many updates other than this. Other than Tiffany saying,
I think so.
You know, he's recovering in ICU. I haven't heard anything about him taking many steps after that first time.
That was on Tuesday, I believe. Right. He got up and walked around a little bit. But other than that, we haven't heard much. So, yeah, I mean, the good news is he's where he is now. Right. But still, there's a lot left to go.
For her, sincere thanks to the people at the Abel Gonzalez Clinic in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
She and everybody else has got to be thankful that he's now at Mass General.
Yes.
Where I'm going to assume that the quality of care is slightly higher.
But also pretty crazy that that guy Salvador was able to get him into his car, drive over 100 miles an hour, get to the hospital in under 7 minutes. I don't know how long it would normally take, but still, he got under 7 minutes.
I guess he was literally banging cars out of the way. I mean, you're racing at high speed. They said that by the time he got to the hospital at the end of the 7 minutes, David was already noticeably weaker.
Right.
He was still speaking, but he had, you know, he'd lost some blood at that point.
That's insane. Like, that's the stuff out of like a movie,
yeah.
Right? Where you're like, get in the car, and then you're zipping away, and the guy's dealing with a gunshot wound. I mean, that's not real life. Like, that's wild.
So whoever that guy is, and Tiffany Ortiz thanked him in her statement today, he may have saved David Ortiz's life.
Yeah. So TMZ has a report. He is he runs a sports betting firm in the Dominican Republic. Salvador does, and he was right there on the scene and was able to perhaps save a life.
We will get you as much updated information as we can in a few minutes. We'll talk to Dave Dombrowski. Our Red Sox report is coming up in just a couple of minutes, and maybe I'll be curious to ask him if anybody from the organization has been able to visit. Have they been allowed to go in? We know,
I don't know.
Immediate family has been in to see him.
But outside of that, I don't know.
And I don't know either.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can even go in and see him.
Yeah.
You know, ICU, it's not like you have a whole bunch of people who get to, you know, traipse through the doors there.
No.
But we'll ask Dave Dombrowski when he joins us in a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Big Al is calling from St. Louis.
Sox Dingers. What's up, Al?
Hey, prayers to Poppy.
Yes.
And you guys are a class organization. I want to say that. And I got a connection with you guys because Johnny Wencek, who came to play for you, played for the Blues.
Yeah.
And when you all lost to the Canadians in the cup, he got John Rattel's stick and got everybody on Bruins to sign it. I got Cashman, Busick, Park, Cheevers, Graham, and Terry O'Reilly.
Wow.
So I'm glad we met. I wanted you guys to, it was be a class matchup, and you know what? It's our turn, boys, and I am so happy because.
All right, Big Al.
Call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Hi, it could have been him.
I wish it was. You all grown up?
Could
he overnight, these guys.
He was grown up when he was playing in the Little League World Series.
Yeah, you blink and you'll miss it with these kids. You know, he's growing up Big Al before our eyes. Now he's a big Blues fan.
It's just
how about all those autographs he got? I'd like to get him back on and just go through each name again.
No, I'm good. There's a limit to how much, you know, congratulations to you guys, but it's our turn stuff I can take.
I mean, it's our turn.
But
it's going to be a St. Louis dynasty now? Look out, Cardinals.
Well, it is their turn. They've never won before.
They don't have a football team or a basketball team.
No.
It's hard to have this big city of champions.
You got a good baseball team. So, sort of.
I don't know.
Well, At least they've been in the World Series before.
They have. They've won. No, the Cardinals have definitely won things.
They go back to the the early days of Bob Gibson and get a little misty-eyed when they think about it.
Sure.
Joe's in Lincoln. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. My big disappointment was that it was not an entertaining game. Even if they lost to a really great game, I could have taken it. But, you know, I think you're wrong, Rich. I think St. Louis for this series was the better team. And let me give you two reasons. Ryan O'Reilly, there was nobody on the Bruins who approached his, you know, stepped up the way he did. If they had even one person to step up like he did, they probably would have won. And second of all, when the Blues score the first goal, they're a much tougher team to beat.
Oh, for sure. That doesn't mean they're the better team, though. You know, if they score first, that they play well like that. It doesn't mean they're the better team. I agree with Buchgras. If you were a GM in the league and you could take one entire roster,
we'll trade your roster for this roster.
I think they would. Even though you just saw them lose 4 out of 7, I think everybody would still take the Bruins roster over the Blues.
It's like, dude.
Well, I agree, but for this series, the Blues were the better team, and they showed it they could play.
Yeah, I got it.
Do you think that the New York Giants that beat the Patriots in the 19-0 game,
of course
do you think
not.
They were the better team? No, I don't.
They were the better team that day, though.
They were the champions. They won the Super Bowl.
I get that part.
They deserve the credit.
Right.
The Blues, especially in Game 7, were a better team.
But like that's the other point, too, is Ryan O'Reilly was the best player in this series. If the Blues called the Bruins and said, hey, we'll trade you Ryan O'Reilly straight up for Patrice Bergeron.
No.
They're not doing it. Or, I mean, the Blues would love to. Point.
They would love to do it.
But so it's one of those things. So he was better for these 7 games, but the Bruins still had more talent. But the Blues won. I mean, that's what it was. And the Bruins played into that, especially in last night's game. And I agree with them on the point that I know how everybody talks about, like the nail-biting games and you freak out and you're losing years off your life and all of that stuff. But I was looking forward to that. I was. And maybe that makes you a sicko. I don't know. But I thought it was going to be a 1-goal game or a tie game in the 3rd period, and you're just on the edge of your seat and you're freaking out. That's what this is all about. Like, you don't want a whole bunch of stinkers, and it ended up being a stinker in the wrong way. If you're going to get a 4-0 win, you'll take it.
Stinker.
It was a stink bomb. It was one of the worst games they played in the whole series.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get an update from Red Sox President of Baseball Ops, Dave Dombrowski, on the situation with David Ortiz. Our Red Sox front office report is coming up in a few minutes, and we've got Red Sox tickets to give away on Free Ticket Thursday. But first, even better than all of that,
this is going to top that.
Rich Keefe's trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. Our Red Sox front office report is brought to you by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox radio network. Red Sox President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski, joins us right now. Hi, Dave.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
We'll get to the baseball team in just a moment. Obviously, all of Red Sox Nation and all of New England has been concerned for good reason about the condition of Big Poppy, David Ortiz. Have you been able to... Has anybody from the organization been able to visit with him at all?
Well, Pedro Martinez has been over there, but because he's in intensive care going over to the hospital, you really need to respect his privacy at this point. There's a lot of us that would like to. We're being kept updated all the time by Larry Ronan, the doctor, and Tiffany, his wife. But we're in a position where, other than Pedro, I do not believe that anybody else has been over to see him just because of the circumstances.
So how did you first hear about it, and then what was your first reaction?
Well, I heard about it on Sunday night right afterwards. I heard it from right after the shooting. I heard it from Eddie Romero, our vice president and assistant general manager, because of the contacts. He has a lot of contacts down in the Dominican. So he sent me a note immediately on it, and then I was absolutely shocked. It's one of those things that you just can't believe when you hear it. And, of course, at that point, we really weren't sure what happened. There were a lot of different rumors taking place. I think the original report was that he got shot in the leg. That quickly, we quickly found out that wasn't accurate, but it took us a lot of time to get all the accurate information. But just complete shock, and we gathered information. Sam Kennedy, of course, our team president here, he was on top of things as far as getting additional information down there and staying in contact with us. Eddie was our main person to get that information because of all his information and contacts that he has down in the Dominican.
Tiffany Ortiz, on behalf of the family, has put out some releases through the organization, through the team. One of the things she talked about was the speed with which the organization put things together to get an air ambulance to the Dominican Republic and get David Ortiz back here to Mass General. I mean, really, within like 18 to 20 hours, you had a plane on the ground and he was on his way out.
Well, yes, and really it comes down, Sam Kennedy really was involved heavily in that at the time with ownership, because of course we need ownership approval, but John Henry, Tom Werner were very involved and said, let's do everything that we can to make this happen. And it was imperative, it was really important to get it done quickly, because the type of gunshot wound, the surgery that he had, the injuries that he had, it was something that was, that urgency was needed at the time. And that's how everybody reacted. And we were in Sam's office on Monday morning, and he had been on the phone on a consistent basis with the hospital making things happen, because he needed signatures in order to get the plane moving, from the family, from the doctors, Dr. Ronan over, our team doctor and at Mass General. So a lot of quick movement, a lot of things happened, but it was very important to do so. And the organization felt, of course, the way we feel about David, the importance he is not to, it's only to us, the friendships, what he's done for the organization, the city. It was very important to get it done quickly.
And, of course, so many of the guys on the current roster have played with Ortiz, and certainly they all know him, and that must have been quite a conversation. Although I'm sure many of them found out certain ways, like, you know, ways that you did. Has there been a group conversation about this and everything that's going on to try to keep these guys up to date?
Well, in the beginning, of course, it took a long time to find out accurate information.
Right.
I think that really didn't come till after midnight on Sunday, where we really had a pulse of what was taking place and the surgery that was being performed, and then coming into town. So what we did, of course, Alex Cora was in the loop of what was taking place, and Alex had contact with the players. But then once we found out exactly what had taken place and Big Papi was on his way here on the plane, we did have a meeting with our players after we addressed the media, and John Henry was there with Sam Kennedy, and we addressed our players and to let them know what had taken place and keep them informed. But now that everybody's here in town, I think they have a lot of contacts themselves and communication between everybody, so everybody's up to date on what's taking place.
So just to reiterate, and based on your information, because of David's situation, Tiffany Ortiz says he's in guarded condition in the surgical ICU. It's a pretty limited scope of people who can visit. As far as you know, Pedro Martinez is the only one who's been there. So these media reports out there that we've heard about asking David Ortiz to record a video for the Boston Bruins, that did not take place.
Well, I can't speak for what did and did take place, because I'm not, of course, there. And I'm sure that, I mean, Big Papi, they know so many people and he's got so many friendships. So I don't know what took place in that regard. But I do know that the limitation, the visitation is limited, and really it's family. And when I say Pedro from the organization, of course, Pedro is the organization, but he's like a brother with David. I mean, they go back for such a long time and they're a special relationship. So, I mean, I think that would be, he's almost a family member at that time. But other than family members being there, I saw that Eduardo Nunez had talked to him on the phone briefly, but I'm not sure even how many people have even spoken to him because of his guarded condition.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if you heard any of those rumors, but I just thought it was outrageous. Like, any idea that David Ortiz, who's literally fighting for his life, would have any kind of connection right now with the Bruins. But that really kind of took over the conversation a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you heard any of that stuff.
I did not. I mean, I heard some rumors that potential may exist that that he may tape something, and I didn't have any knowledge of that. I just heard the rumors of it, and it was a little surprising when I heard that those rumors. But, I mean, David's miraculous, so you just never know, never put anything past him. But I was a little surprised when I heard those things.
With the walk-off win yesterday, your team is a game above 500 again. You and Alex and others have expressed disappointment at the way the season has gone so far. Now that we're past Memorial Day, and in fact, approaching even July 4th, not that far away, are you beginning to look at possibilities of adding something from outside the organization to help here?
Well, you're always looking at that, sure. I mean, that is something that you pay attention to. I think it really takes place much more so with some organizations after the June draft. They get done, their scouts are done scouting for the draft. In our situation, our department's professional and amateur scouting are separated. So we've been watching people all along. Sure, you're aware of that, but I think you also have to take care of a lot of your own things internally. You have to answer questions internally so before you reach outside. So for us, for example, we really haven't had our five starting pitchers together all season long early in the year. Of course, they weren't throwing quite as well. Then once they got going, Nathan Eovaldi was hurt, and he's making progress, but he's not quite back. We're in a spot where our bullpen, Stephen Wright, is coming back on the 25th of June, so he's in a position where that should give us an extra arm there that's performing very well and we think can help us a great deal. Steve Pierce, who really has had a struggling year so far, he's starting to make progress. He's an important right-handed bat for us. We know what he can do. Mitch Moreland's making some progress. So a lot of those type of questions need to be answered before you go outside your organization, because overall, our club is very solid when we perform up to the capabilities that we have.
Now, you mentioned Stephen Wright. He had a similar knee injury to Dustin Pedroia, and we certainly know what's going on with Pedroia, but you think that he'll be able to bounce back and be a part of the bullpen here when he returns?
We do. I mean, you're always cautiously optimistic, but I think in Steven's case, the surgery's been a couple years now at this point. He's been pitching and working out really since the beginning of the season down in Florida. He'll always have the problem, but he has not had any setbacks at this time. We have found through our work with him that he's much better off pitching a limited time more often than he is pitching throwing a number of pitches on a particular day. So that's why we're looking at him as more as a bullpen guy when he comes back rather than a starting pitcher. We just don't want to take any chances. But yes, at this point, we do feel that he can come back and help us.
Physical mistakes can happen. We understand that. Is it more frustrating as the head of the organization to see mental mistakes? The issue with the inside the park home run, I mean, base running blunders. Are mental mistakes harder to forgive?
Well, I think that we're always in a position where the two things that you can always really kind of control more so is your effort and your focus on those type of mistakes. So I think anytime you make mental mistakes, you're in a position that nobody likes to see them. I mean, front office doesn't like them. The manager and the coaching staff, the players don't like to see them. And I think you have to always be careful when we summarize what's a mental mistake and what's not. You never know what the circumstances are until you can start getting into the clubhouse and start talking to people. But sure, you don't never like to see mental mistakes from an organizational perspective.
When Nathan Eovaldi does return, will that certainly be in the rotation, or is there a chance it could be out of the bullpen?
Well, at this point, we're looking in the rotation. That's where we've looked. We want to stretch him out. We're hopeful that he'll get back relatively soon as far as starting to throw is concerned. So, I mean, to us, it's important to put him in the rotation if we can. Now, if something happens where all of a sudden longevity took place and you were in a spot where you didn't think you could properly stretch him out, that may change your mind, but we don't think we're anywhere near that. So we think we're in a position where when he'll be able to be stretched out and he'll be part of our starting rotation. And that's really what we thought our strength of our organization, one of them would be, when you can start throwing out, say, El Porcello, Price, Rodriguez, and Eovaldi for every 5 days. You have a chance to go on a night roll. We've never been in that spot all year long, so we're hopeful to get him back and put him in there and get on that type of role.
Final question before we let you go. You guys have better information than the rest of us on these things, and you look at it ahead of time. How do things look for tonight's game?
Well, right now, my indication is I just got a weather report that it's supposed to be rainy till about 5 or 6, and then it's supposed to clear up. So we should be fine for tonight's game and ready to go on time.
Dave, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox. He said he can't say for sure that David Ortiz was not asked to do a video, but it does not appear that the organization asked him to do anything. Since Pedro's the only guy in the organization
right.
who's even been over there.
Like, hey, Pedro, once you find out how he's doing, see if you can film something on your phone and get it over there, because it's a big hockey game. Like, come on. I hope that didn't happen.
I know that there was no video that ran. I mean, we all know that, those right. of us who were in the building last night. I thought it was probably, and we said this yesterday, is it appropriate to even ask?
No, not at all.
Guys in guarded condition in ICU. Hey,
I know it's touch and go right now, and you've had, you know, all these surgeries and, you know, parts of your body removed and everything else, but just how about a Let's Go Bruins chant real quick and a We Want the Cup? That's all we need. Like, come on. That is beyond.
And we know that Tom Brady wasn't there to do it. There were rumors that he was supposed to be there for Game 7. And I think those rumors are much stronger than David Ortiz was asked to make a video.
All due respect to Fist Bump Kid, who's the man.
He's a great kid.
And Ali Raisman, who's great, and Julian Edelman, who's great. It did feel like either something fell through or we weren't expecting a Game 7 or something happened there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. I got to give the Professional Hockey Writers of Professional Hockey Writers Association credit. They give every ballot. They tell you exactly who voted for who Conn Smythe, and I like that. I like the fact that you can look and say, okay. Scott Burnside voted this guy first, this guy second, this guy third. We'll tell you about that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A disappointing end to a remarkable Bruins season as the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions. React and talk about it right here. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It is NBA Finals Game 6 tonight.
That's right.
In Oakland at the Oracle Arena. Last game ever at Oracle.
I'll
get a little misty-eyed thinking about closing up that barn.
A real palace.
So, not that this is any surprise. We kind of knew this was going to be the case. But according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Kevin Durant expected to miss the entire 2019-20 season after surgery to repair his ruptured Achilles. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting.
Yes.
The question was whether he would leave the Warriors in free agency this summer, which everyone thought he was going
to
do.
He doesn't have to.
No, he could trigger a $31.5 million option for next season.
Mm-hmm.
He could also sign a five-year extension with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Isola of The Athletic reports today that Golden State planned to pitch Durant on signing a long-term deal before the Achilles injury happened. According to Isola, the team might still consider this as an option, even if Durant misses next season. Now, we said a couple of days ago in the aftermath of this, I could see teams out there saying, you know what? We'll pay to rehab you. We'll sign you to a deal. They can only sign him to a four-year deal. The Warriors can sign him to a five-year deal, and according to Frank Isola, they're kind of looking at doing that anyway.
Yeah, he's on the very short list of players in the NBA who you could know is going to miss an entire season and you'd still offer him the max deal. Now, the first thing is up to him. He can just take $31 million in rehab next year, get paid by the Warriors because it's a player option. So just like Kyrie opting or deciding not to opt into his player option with the Celtics and become a free agent, Durant could do this, and it's a lot more money than Kyrie's, like $23 million. So he could take the $31 million and just do that, or it's probably smarter to just lock yourself into that max deal because who knows what it's going to be like when you try to recover. What if all of a sudden he's just, you know, rehabbing, making $31 million, and then all the reports are not progressing like he'd like? You know, things aren't looking up, and this is a lingering injury. Then who knows what's going to happen? That people might want to see you play a little bit if you have setbacks or anything like that. But I still think there's the chance that he could leave. And also, if they win it without him, if they win the title without him, so they need to win tonight and they need to win Game 7, I think he's more likely to leave. But if they lose, because that's how he tried to pitch it, they lost to Kyrie Irving and LeBron the year that, the year before he joined them. And he said, well, had they won two in a row, I wouldn't have come here. And then he wins two titles. He's the finals MVP both times. And if they now win the whole thing without him, I think he might leave. But if they lose, he might say, see, I'm still the most important piece of this, and I'm gonna return. So I don't even think his decision has been made. Much like maybe we don't know if Kyrie has decided Brooklyn yet, or if he's decided the Knicks, if he's decided the Celtics, the Lakers, whatever. Durant might be waiting to see how this series plays out.
I wonder if it's not more likely that he would accept a five-year offer from Golden State with this news now. You know, he's going to miss all of next season,
yeah,
which is what we expected as soon as he had surgery. We kind of knew that was going to be the case. I wonder if it's more likely if Golden State made the offer that he says, you know what, I'll stay.
He could. I mean, he definitely could. But I also think that, and obviously Golden State can pay him more than the other teams can anyway. They can give him that extra year. But he's still going to get max offers from New York and Brooklyn. At least that would be my guess. And so does he really want to leave Golden State? They're not going to offer him anything less than the max because they know they can get it there in
exactly.
Golden State. So if he wants to leave, he'd still have some pretty good options, I think. But does he want to stay there, or does he want to try to win when he finally gets healthy, you know, without Curry and Thompson? I don't know. I mean, it's completely up to him, even with the injury.
One quick note. The 2020 Stanley Cup odds are out.
Ooh, here we go.
From Bet Online.
Rossi, you got to find whoever's last on this. And jump on this. That's how
Ottawa
you get
Senators, Rossi.
Who? What are they? Plus what?
100-1.
Well, that's not even enough.
Not good enough.
That's not good enough at all.
I'm still feeling the Mariners.
Only
right
100-1. You're going in on the Seattle Mariners.
I think I'm
going
to do it.
The St. Louis Blues are sixth.
Yeah. See,
the defending Stanley Cup champions are tied with Colorado for fifth.
They are not getting back.
They are 12-1.
They're not getting back there.
The favorite to win the Stanley Cup next year is the Tampa Bay Lightning at 8-1.
Not surprised.
Second is the Boston Bruins. At 9-1.
They got a lot of guys coming back. I mean, it's going to be most of the same team, I assume, unless they make some, you know, trades and things like that. But they got a couple of guys restricted in Carlo and McAvoy that they got to bring back. A couple of unrestricted guys like Nolan Achari, and then pretty much, you know, and Johansson. But other than that, it's going to be most of the guys back. And I think they have another run. I know some people have sort of talked about this was the last chance they had. I didn't see it. I think Bergeron, Tuca, Marchand are all going to be good next year. And so they could be back in the mix. But I also think Tampa Bay will bounce back.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got an hour to go. We'll get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.